This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, friends. This is Tom Creighton inviting you to join me for our next exciting trip to Israel, January 24th to February 3rd, 2017. You'll enjoy comprehensive sightseeing, visiting all the holy sites in a deluxe motor coach, and rest every night in a five-star deluxe hotel. This time, we're limiting this trip to only 24 passengers for your comfort and enjoyment. So register today and make sure you're a part of this life-changing trip. For a free brochure, call WCNO toll-free at 888-221-8990, or for more information, visit our website at WCNO.com and go to the news page.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all you listeners wherever you are on the radio, the internet. We just honored to be here with you. Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have for 23 plus years. And God gave us a name way back from Revelation 19:10 to worship God, for the testimony of Yeshua is the spirit of prophecy. That's where we got the church name from. And so we love that name, and we're going to hang on to it. And at one time, there wasn't hardly anybody that we knew of that had that name on a church. Now you can look around and bring it up on the internet, and there's a lot of those names around the world even of churches named Spirit of Prophecy. And so we're honored to have that name on ourselves, and we thank you, Father God, that you are the one that you put that in my heart. And when you gave me the name, I thought, good grief, Lord, that's a funny name for a church. And you gave me Revelation 19. So I went over there and read, and there it was, right there. And so that's how we got our name, right, Pastor Donna? So we're honored to be here with you. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. If you can't, we offer CDs or tapes, whatever you want. And all we ask for is a love offering to be made out to the church ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And you can mail it to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. So we love you. We're honored to be here with you today, aren't we, Pastor Donna?
You know, I was just thinking what you just said about the Spirit of Prophecy, how the Lord gave you the name.
Mm-hmm.
He gave it to you prophetically. He spoke to you by His Spirit, to your spirit. And it reminds me how, you know, it says when we, God, there may be, you know, when we're witnessing to somebody, and the Bible says that when we open our mouth, He will fill it. Well, you know, we may not be able to think of a particular scripture or where it's at, but but the Holy Ghost knows.
He knows everything.
And so, and actually the Holy Ghost in us knows. And so He says He bring those things to our remembrance.
That's right. Hallelujah.
So when God gave you that word, Spirit of Prophecy, you know, you had heard it at one time, sometime,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, you really didn't even know where I was at. But the Lord even gave you the scripture.
Show me where
and
I was at.
I've had the Lord give me a scripture to go to, and I didn't know what scripture was I was going to.
Yeah.
Or on the other side, I've been given a word, a scripture, but I didn't know where it was at. So then you have to, you know, look at your Bible and or get a concordance and find out where the word is at that you said.
Mm-hmm.
So here, you know, so God can speak to you either way. He can give you a scripture, and maybe you don't know what the scripture says. Or He can give you the words that's in the scripture instead of giving you, John 10:10 or something
whatever,
like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, I know what John 10:10 says, but what if I didn't know what John 10:10 says and God says, speaks John 10:10 to me, I go and look it up. But what if John, what on the other side, what if God gave me the what it says in John 10:10, mm-hmm. and then I didn't know it was in John 10:10. So the Holy Spirit knows all things, and He's given us that. So, you know, so was the Lord gave you that scripture. I know I sound like I'm going around a mountain here, but
you're all right.
As the Lord gave you that scripture, you know, then you went, He even told you the scripture and the where it was at.
He gave me a verse also out of the book of Hebrews I went to, yeah.
Right, and so, yes, out of that also as well. So when you seek the Lord, He says, we're seeking Him. When we seek the Lord, He answers us, because you
sure
were
is.
Asking the Lord, well, Lord, because He told you to start a church. Well, Lord, if we start this church, what do you want to name it? That was your question
That's
to God.
Right.
And He spoke to you, spirit of prophecy, and you went, that doesn't make sense. I never heard of that.
Yeah, heard
that.
That before.
Well, God doesn't speak things that's going to make sense to us.
That's right.
Many times. Many times He will. He tells us what He, because He knows, He sees the future. We didn't see the future exactly where God was taking us at that time. But now we can look back and we can see why God said spirit of prophecy. And so, you know, I think about people who come up with a name, you know, and then maybe 2 years, 5 years later, they come up with another name. Well, you know, if God is moving you from one area to another area, I can see perhaps you having another name, because our radio program is called Raising a Standard. But the whole ministry is called Spirit of Prophecy, because what are we bringing? The Spirit of Prophecy, which is
Amen.
What? The testimony of Jesus,
that's
of Yeshua,
it.
Is the Spirit of Prophecy. And what does that mean? That's the small s of where it says Spirit of Prophecy.
That's right.
Those are small s and a small p for prophecy. It's the revel. It's the word. It's the revelation of the Lord. It's prophecy, actually, and it's the words that Jesus spoke. Plus, it's also the words that Yeshua, Jesus, spoke also in the first covenant, and the prophets, and God gave it to the prophets and to Moses and to different people that spoke of the Isaiah spoke of things to come.
That's right.
So you know, here now we can. Of course, maybe Isaiah, he couldn't see, mm-hmm. you know, even John, the Revelator, he couldn't see except for what God showed him, and he didn't really understand some of the things that were said. But now we look back and we see the things that have happened down through time, and we have more understanding, and we've got understanding of why God says certain things,
That's
why
right.
He does certain things.
Amen.
So we have to trust the spirit of prophecy. And, you know, it's not just the church. It's the spirit of prophecy should be in each and every one of us.
That's right.
If we're a believer.
And we're born again, that's right.
That's what Pentecost is all about. Pentecost is about the spirit of prophecy. Actually, if you know, because all of that, and it comes into a person. It's not just given to prophets, kings, and priests. Now the spirit of prophecy, anyone who believes in the Lord and has in the Lord Jesus Christ in their heart, they've asked Jesus to come to their heart, they can move in that spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
So you don't have to be a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
No. Because the Bible says that we're priests and kings. And when we get the Holy Ghost is a gift. Jesus said He would send Him and the Father. They sent the gift of the Holy Ghost. What? To dwell in believers.
That's right.
So we could move in the nine gifts. And prophecy is just one. And prophecy is one of them. And prophecy is probably one, because He said that we should all prophesy.
That's right.
So we're in
and
Corinthians.
Why? Because we exhort, encourage, and comfort people with it. It's not to tear down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to correct. It's for encouragement. That's what it's all about.
So when we go out and we witness, see, we should be witnessing by the spirit
That's
of
right.
prophecy.
Amen.
By the prophetic word that God gives us. Because God will give us a word about somebody or to somebody that they need to hear.
That's right.
Because God knows what everyone needs to hear.
That's right.
So anyway, so we're
be
blessed.
Ready to be used of God. Amen.
We need to be ready, because time is short. You know, we're in that season of the summer. And Jesus talked about the summer. Don't say there's 4 more months, because you know what? The catching away could happen in this fall.
That's right.
We believe that. We believe it's going to happen on a Rosh Hashanah.
On one particular year.
On one particular year. And could it be this year? It could be this year. It could be before the election. You know? And
that take care of the election problem.
That would take care of the election problem.
Yeah.
And you know, Donald Trump, they say he's a Christian.
Yeah.
Well, if he's a Christian, then he won't even be here for the election.
That's right.
We'll be caught away.
Yeah.
Now, some people don't believe that we're going to be caught away, but we do.
We do. The Bible makes it clear. I think so, yes.
So wouldn't that be something?
And so remember that holiday, the Jewish New Year, which is called Trumpets, mm-hmm. it lasts for 48 hours. It could be any time between those 48 hours on one particular year. Now, we don't know for sure what year we're on, but could it be this year, this fall? It could well be.
And when we had our prayer meeting this week, one of the ladies said that there was a prophecy way back many years ago
mm-hmm.
that when three major ministries or men
died,
that chaos would be released.
On the earth.
On the earth. And one of them was Oral Roberts. Another one was Oral Roberts. And who was the second one?
Billy Graham was the third one.
Billy Graham is still here.
Right.
The other two are already going on to the Lord. Oral Roberts, and I can't think of who the other one was.
Generals in the body of Christ.
Yes,
yeah.
And so we only have, there's only one left, and that is Billy Graham.
That's right.
And so, you know, he's how old?
94, 96, somewhere up in there.
He's up there in years. But he's still here, amen.
He's got a good mind.
Well, I want to give our telephone number before we start teaching. I want to say hello to you all out there. And we just thank the Lord that you can join us on this Sabbath day, this Saturday, to raise the standard. And we're going to get into God's Word and read His Word, because that's what's going to set us free.
It's going to change us, yes.
And that's what will change us and cause us to grow. And it says we'll know the truth, and the truth will make us free.
Not set us free, but make us free.
That's what the King James says, make us free.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to say hello out there. Mainly, I want to say hi to Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island, building the temple of God and working hard to finish the building. To fill the building, amen, fill the seats.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to say hello to all you others out there listening. Maybe this is your first time to tune us in. Maybe you've been listening for quite some time. We just thank the Lord for you. Thank you for the encouragement. We had some encouraging phone calls last week after our teaching.
Yes, Lord.
And an email. And so I just want to say hello to Linda out there. And thank you for that email. And so, and others, you know, who are blessed by the radio program. I want to mention also that we're not only on locally, WCNO 89.9 mm-hmm. FM out of Stuart, Florida, but we're also on the internet. So you can tell your friends, they can go to WCNO.com and they can listen to this program anywhere in the world. And if they can't get us at a certain time, they can always go back and listen to the podcast, because they're all on the internet. And so you can be blessed by that. So, you know, tell somebody, tell your relatives, tell your friends. We have people who live in other cities, other states, and they enjoy the broadcast, and it's a blessing to be on the internet.
Amen.
So that's really a blessing. So that would be WCNO.com. And our phone number here in Stuart, Florida, because we have services here in Stuart, Florida, I'll mention that. This afternoon we have service at 4 o'clock, and we'll be showing a video.
Another video by Mark Biltz.
Very
interesting. Come, you'll be blessed. We were blessed with the one we did last week.
He's Jewish. He's Messianic. He's a rabbi. And he's teaching some things about the Hebrew, and we're going to learn a lot. We've been learning a lot of things. And so we need to know more about our roots and know more about the Feast of the Lord. And so that's at 4 o'clock, and then we close this Shabbat out after we have our little meal. And then we come together on Sunday morning or the first day of the week at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also come together on Friday, every Friday night for Shabbat at 7 p.m. So if you can come to one of those days, that would be wonderful. We'd love to see you. And if you could keep us in prayer, that would be good too, because or give us a call, send us a note. And we just thank the Lord for you, and we thank you. Keep us in your prayers. Amen?
Amen.
So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. And I'll repeat that. That's area code 772-285-7007.
That's right.
And I'm Donna, and you are?
And I'm Gene. So we co-pastor this church here in Stuart called Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, don't we, Pastor?
Amen.
And we have for 23 plus years. We've been on the radio now 19 plus years. And so I want you to know, God told me what to name the program way back, Raising the Standard. And one thing in this Raising the Standard is we will continue to share this year after year. God is not done with Israel. They're here, His people, and He's going to take care of them. We got two programs running at the same time. He's got one for the church, the ecclesia, could be Jew or Gentile in Messiah. He's also going to have a program for the Jews that don't know the Messiah. That's what the Jacob's trouble is all about, to give them another 7 years of God's grace and mercy to draw them to the Messiah. They missed their first visitation, but Lord, I pray they don't miss the second when He comes back. And so this is what this program is all about. And so part of raising the standard is to understand the Jewish roots. And they're really not Jewish. They came from God, but God gave them to the Jewish people, to Israel. And then we've been have the honor and the privilege to be grafted in and to follow the word that you have, Father God, for the nation of Israel. And it's good for all of us. And so we thank you. Even as Paul said in Romans chapter 7, that the Torah, the teaching and instruction of God, it's just, it's holy, it's good for us, he said that. And then he goes on down that chapter and he says, and those things are spiritual, they're spiritual things for us today. So we're going to continue to raise the standard in the body of Christ and also to speak forth the truth of the Word of God, that we cannot live in sin and expect to be in the kingdom of God. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5. He talked about all the sins of the flesh, and there's a lot of them over there, and you can go read it yourself. All right? And he said, if you do these, or if you're practicing these things, it's in the Greek, it's in a verb, a present tense. If you're doing these things, you're practicing these things that he mentioned about, and we have a lot of it even in the church, adultery, fornication, all the things we see that's going on. He says, if you're doing those things, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So that kind of shoots down this thought that one day we can just come and make a prayer or whatever, and we're saved for a moment. But what happens if we drift away from God? Oh, heaven forbid if we do. And so, Lord, we thank you that we're going to stay with you. And I tell people in our congregation I have for years, it's not how we start this race with you, Lord. It's how we end this race with you. That's the most important thing, to stay with you, to walk with you, to grow and mature in the things of God. And so that's what this program is all about. And so we thank God for Israel, because without them, we wouldn't have what we have. And this book I have before me is a Jewish document. And Jesus himself said in one of the Gospels, he said that salvation is of what? Of the Jews. So God gave his revelation to all the prophets and all of old, and Moses and all the things that was given to them for our knowledge and understanding. And then he gave us the Torah, the teaching and instruction of God, so that we might walk and know how to walk a holy and just life with him. So that means the Torah has not been done away with. It's still active today. There's things in there that we must know and understand. We don't do the ceremonial things with killing animals and all that, because Yeshua was the last sacrifice. But there's truths off of every one of the commandments that God gave us. And I like what John said in 1 John. I love 1 John. In one of those chapters and near the end of the book, he said that the judgments and the statutes of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, are not grievous. They're easy. And why? Because we love the Messiah. We love him so much. And so we want to obey and listen to what he's got to say. And he's talking to people every single day. I love it. And so that's what we're on this program for. We're going to continue to raise that standard and let you know that Israel is very important to God. A lot of the churches forgot about Israel. They think that God's done with them. And I get tired of hearing this, saying that Israel is a state. They're not a state. They are a nation. They are a nation. You know, they don't have states within them like America. They are a nation. And so you're sticking that term on there, I guess, because they want to split Israel in the middle, especially in Jerusalem, and have the Muslims part of it and Israel part of it, and call them two states. No, God's intention was that Israel would have the land, and anybody that wanted to come there and obey his commandments and statutes and judgments that we have in the Word of God, they're welcome there, and not to come in and try to change everything and come in with Sharia law or whatever else they're wanting to do. And so this is what it's all about. God gave that land to Israel hundreds of years ago, and he promised that they would have it. And let me tell you, they're going to get it at the end. In the territory they have right now, it's called Israel, that's a small portion compared to what they're going to get according to the Word of God. So we lift them up before you, Lord. We thank you for Israel. We thank you. And even Abram said this. He says, those that bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. So we're not going to curse them in any way, shape, or form. And so we're asking you, Lord, to tell our religious, not our religious leaders, well, some of even them as well, that have turned away from Israel, but our politicians, that we will take our hands off the nation of Israel. Let Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, and the people there, you'll show them how to do this, and you're going to lead and guide them, and you can protect them. And so you have all these years, and you will continue to do the same thing. So let us take our hands off, leave them alone, quit trying to talk them into dividing Israel especially Jerusalem and all that, into anything else but what you want. You want one nation for them, Father God, and you will be the head of that. And so we give you praise and honor and glory for the nation of Israel. Now, I don't know why I got into that, but I think it's important to know that. And that's what this program's about. It's called Raising the Standard. Now, these aren't really Jewish appointed times that we talk about. They're God's appointed times. They're His. They're His festivals and Moedim for them to share every year and to go through these. But He gave it to one group of people that said, yes, Lord, we're going to keep it. And Israel said, yeah, we'll do it. And we're going to read some things here in Exodus chapter 24. You'll find out they didn't keep it either. But He gave it to them. And, of course, they got into a lot of trouble and all the things that happened. But at the end, God is going to bring them into that place, and they're going to accept Yeshua HaMashiach as their Messiah, even though they missed the visitation the first time. But I think about all the Jewish people down through time that died, that will be lost, that didn't walk with God. Mm-hmm. Even before Yeshua was known, they were to walk and obey His statutes, commandments, and judgments, and the priests talked about it. That's what they were there for, to separate the holy from the profane. That's what it was all there. And the prophets declared and declared and declared, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them, Joel, all of them, they were declaring what God said, but they wouldn't listen. And so what happened? That's why they're scattered all the world now. They disobeyed, so they got into a lot of trouble. So we're going to talk a little bit about this here today. I get excited thinking about the nation of Israel, and that we have the honor and the privilege. Read Romans 10 and 11. We have the honor and the privilege to be grafted into the natural tree, the natural olive tree. We're hooked in. We thank you, Lord, that we're drawing sap from Israel. They're not drawing it from us. We're drawing it from Israel because they were given all this. The patriarchs were given all these appointed times that God put on the earth for them to teach them about the seasons and the times and how they all are very prophetic to the end of the days that we're in. And here we are right now. We're in this month of Tammuz that we talked about last week. It started on the 19th. It's critical in the Jewish history. They had so many things happen to them that were negative, and they were overwhelming to the Jewish people from Tammuz 19 until the 9th of Av. So today is the 24th day of Tammuz, so we're not too far away from the 9th of Av. So keep Israel in prayer. Lift them up. Lift up Benjamin, especially the prime minister, that he'll have the knowledge and understanding and the wisdom that comes from God to make all the decisions that are right. And so we thank you, Father God, for what you're going to do. And so forgive America, Lord. Even before Benjamin was put in office again, we had a coalition of people and money that came from America to be sent over there to try to stop him from being elected as Prime Minister of Israel again. But you know what? It looked like he lost. But at the end, it was overwhelming. He won. And why? Because God is on their side. Hallelujah. So take our hands off, Lord. Amen. Well, glory be to God. I'm excited about thinking about Israel.
Amen.
And so here we are in this month of Tammuz. And we're coming to the end, and then we're going to be in the month of Av. Once we get done with the month of Av, we're going to come to the month of Tishri. You know, this is Elul. This is interesting. In the Encyclopedia Judaica, and I've read this years ago, a lot of it, from Elul 1 until the Day of Atonement, which is on Tishri 10, the Jews have this understanding, and they have for all these years, that the second time that Moses went up to Mount Sinai to get the tablets after the first one was broken because of their disobedience, he went up on, they believe, on Elul 1, and he came down on Tishri 10, which is the Day of Atonement. What a picture. What is the Day of Atonement? It's called the Day of Judgment. And so God's doing some wonderful things. So I'm going to take you to Exodus chapter 34, and let's read a little bit here and see what God had to say. This is not too long of a chapter. It's only got 18 verses in it, but boy, is it powerful. And we ought to think about ourselves when we read this. I do this all the time. Lord, relate this. Where are we at right now? What are we doing in our country right now? We're breaking all of God's statutes, His commandments, His judgments. You know, we've redefined marriage. We're accepting homosexuality, which is a sin. Abortion, which is a sin. All of this is a sin. And so I keep praying. And this is how Israel got in trouble because they turned away from it. So let's go to chapter 24.
You know, Pastor Dean, some people say, well, you know, you're going to go read back and read it on Exodus, and that's the law. And, you know, these things aren't still for today.
They don't apply.
But there's something we're going to talk about, and you said Exodus 34, right? 24. Okay, I was thinking of 34, which is good too, because 34 tells us about the iniquity and visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the what? The third and the fourth generation. Now, this still stands true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, if people don't repent, if people don't come to the Lord, then those sins of the father go down to the second, the third, and the fourth generation.
Yeah.
And so this is why it's important to be delivered and to be set free. And so that these, because, you know, think about it. You know, people say, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. But, you know, many families, if you look at family history, people's family history, many times the same sin will, or a strong, it's a stronghold. Because
strong
we
man.
All sin, but there's strongholds and there's strong the strong man. Of maybe it's of adultery or something else. It might skip a generation, but it'll go maybe to the second or the third or even the fourth, because these sins, and you can see it in families.
That's right.
We've talked to some. How about drugs?
That's right. And alcohol.
And how about children being born out of wedlock? We've seen that in many, many families, and that's a curse. Because of, you know, what God's word says about iniquity and about sin.
Right.
That's why it's important to repent and be set free so that our children don't carry the iniquities of the fathers. So you were going to Exodus 20,
chapter 24. I mentioned at church last Sunday that I saw a plaque at the Cracker Barrel the other day, and mm-hmm. it says the Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. They're all active today. Not a single one is inactive today. And the most important one is right in the middle. Remember the Sabbath.
And, you know, the people said they were going to do all that God said.
That's what they promised.
But they didn't, did they? They didn't do it. They said they were going to do it, but they fell short and they didn't do it. And they kept falling back into sin over and over again.
So let's read this, Pastor. Start reading chapter 20. We'll read all 18 verses before we get off the radio here today. So we're going to open up the Word of God. Father, I ask you to give everyone that's listening today, give them ears to hear what mm-hmm. the Spirit of God's saying, not what a man might say. We're reading your holy Word. It's never been abrogated. It's still active. It's live, and it's powerful for us even today. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Go ahead, honey.
Okay, I'll start. I'll read the first few verses.
Okay.
And he said unto Moses, who said unto Moses?
God did.
Come up unto the Lord. You know, when we see the word Lord here in the King James, it's all capitals. That's Yod Heh Vav Heh.
That's right.
Thou and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. They were all go up to the Lord and worship ye afar off.
So they stood away from the mountain.
So they stood away
them.
And they worshiped the Lord. Uh-huh. All these 70 some people plus the priests and Moses. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord. So only Moses could go up the mountain.
That's right.
But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. Only Moses was
That's right.
to go up on the mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
They weren't even supposed to touch it or go
was,
on it or
and
anything.
This next verse is very important.
And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord. Now, you many times they didn't like what the Lord said.
That's
they
right.
didn't even like it. They didn't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tested the Lord. How many times? Many times in the wilderness. And they were punished for it. They, you know, they even all had to all die before, couldn't go into the promised land. And all the judgments and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do.
We will do, yeah.
That's like saying, I do. When I got married to you, I said, I do.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people say, I do, but then they say, I don't. And
that's
I want a divorce.
That's right.
Well, here, all the people said, we're going to, I do. But what happened? They didn't, did they? They did not. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. He wrote, can you imagine? That's why we have all these words of the Lord. And rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Those were all witnesses, weren't they? There were a symbol there to know what he's talking about for the 12 tribes.
God never did forget the 12 tribes, and
he never
will. And people say, well, some of them are lost.
Yeah, no, they're not.
God knows where the every
tribe right.
They're
not lost by any means. That's
every
right.
tribe is, amen.
Yeah.
And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book. What book is this? The book of the covenant. And read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do and be obedient.
Yeah.
Now they've said this twice.
Twice,
now.
Yeah, that's right.
Twice, they've repeated themselves.
That's right.
And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. See, there's always been a blood covenant.
That's right.
There was a blood covenant when Adam and Eve sinned.
That's right.
That was the first blood covenant.
That's right. When there was an animal sacrifice so they could have skins put over their naked bodies. Right.
No, man tried to cover themselves with fig leaves.
They don't work.
And God says, no, that's right. Not the answer.
It takes blood.
It has to be blood.
That's right.
And said, behold, the blood of the covenant. So here we see the blood. Jesus was his blood, right? It had to be shed.
That's right.
Which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. You want to read on? Go on.
Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. Boy, huh? And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee the tablets of stone and a law. This is the Torah and commandments which I have written that thou mayest what? Teach them. He was to teach them. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. So in Jewish history and all, and their understanding, this is going to be, right, what we're talking about here is going to be on the month of Elul, the first day of the month. Now we go over verse 15. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it. Listen to this. 6 days, man's number. And the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. And so when he came down, it was on the Day of Atonement.
40 days and 40 nights. Moses by himself.
That's right.
In the midst of the cloud.
Yeah. Remember, Jesus was sent out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, wasn't he? After he was water baptized and the Holy Ghost came upon him. So we have an interesting thing looking at all this. And, you know, they got into a lot of trouble. They promised God they would keep all this, but they didn't keep it.
On the Sabbath day is when he went up.
That's right.
It says here, the cloud covered it 6 days.
That's right.
The seventh day, which is what? The Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
He called unto Moses.
Out of the midst of the cloud.
Out of the midst of the cloud. You know, and God said, he told Moses in the Ten Commandments to remember the Sabbath day,
mm-hmm.
and to keep it holy. And people sometimes ask us, why do you do Shabbat? Well, because, you know, the Holy Spirit spoke to us. We didn't always do Shabbat on Friday night.
Nope.
But the Lord spoke to us that we needed to remember the Sabbath day.
That's right.
Not legalistically, but because God gave it to man. God gave it to man before he ever gave it to Moses on
mm-hmm.
as part of the Ten Commandments. Because it says in there, it says, remember the Sabbath day. Because the Sabbath day was established way back in the very beginning in Genesis.
That's right.
Chapter 1. The Sabbath day was established. God talked about the seventh day. And so it's a picture of the rest. And it's a picture of the rest that we'll be coming to permanently very soon. Because the time is running out.
That's right. Time is
just about over as far
right.
as with this age, this period that we're in now.
Of rebellion that we're in.
And there's going to be total rebellion when the catching away happens.
That's right.
When we're caught away.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, everyone is going to, all the Christians are going to be gone. There's going to be nothing to hold back the forces of evil. It's going to be total rebellion. And many people who are hanging in the gap, you know, they got one foot in the world and one foot.
They say
they're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord spoke to me this last week about this. Many people say they're Christian. One man on TV said just last week, he said, I'm a Christian and I'm gay. Well, you know, all of Israel here said, I'm Israel. They all said, I'm Israel. They all agreed that they were Israel. They all believed that there was a God. They saw the miracles.
That's right.
These people saw the miracles. They went through the Red Sea. They saw the cloud. They saw the fire. They saw it with their literal eyes. They saw these things happen. They saw the ground open up and the people of Korah swallowed up in the ground. They heard their cries. All those people said they were Israel, but were they all saved? No.
Nope.
Only the ones who were obedient, only the ones who said that they, remember I read that, you said, I do. We read over
so
here,
we
it says in verse 3, he says, I will, they will do it. And it said it again twice. They said, we will do and be obedient. All that the Lord has said, will we do and be obedient.
That's right.
Well, people know that the Bible says, well, in the New Testament, maybe we should go there and read in a bit. It tells about all, Paul talked about all the things that we should not do if we want to inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And all the things that we should do or we must do to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, we know God's grace is there, but we have the Holy Ghost, which convicts us, which brings us the truth, which tells us the truth of what we should do and not do.
That's right.
Whether we're going to follow the Holy Ghost or not, that's the Spirit of God within us, that's a choice that God gives us. And so when we decide to do, when we think that we can say we're a Christian, and they say, like I could say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a liar. I'm just a liar. I just can't help it. I just lie all the time. I just tell white lies. I tell, you know, black lies. I just can't help it. I'm just a liar. Well, see, that's a lie from the pit of hell, because the first liar is Satan. Is a liar.
That's right.
He says he's the one who he's the liar of all lies. Mm-hmm. So he plants those lies. And so if we want to think that we're a liar because we just can't help it, then we will inherit the kingdom of God. Because it says in the book of Revelation, there's not going to be no liars in heaven. Do you think God hasn't really changed? There was as much grace here in the first covenant with Moses as there is in the New Testament.
That's right.
Because Jesus paid the price. His blood cleanses us. But if we choose to come against that blood, well, the Bible warns about that too. You know, coming against his blood, well, we're going to take it for now. We're going to take communion, but I'm still going to go home and sleep with somebody.
Yeah.
Well, that's a scary thing to be in that. Or I'm still going to be angry with somebody. That's a scary thing to fall into the hands of a holy God. A holy God.
That's right.
Because it says that we should be seeking holiness, and it says to be holy as I am holy. That's also in the New Testament. So we can't say, those things were for those people because they didn't have the blood of Jesus on their life. No, they had a choice. And we can see the examples of many of them that were destroyed who said they were Israel.
That's right.
They said they were Israel, but they didn't. They're not going to be in heaven because of their disobedience.
That's right.
And so many people who say, I'm a Christian, well, you might say you're a Christian, you might believe in Jesus, but there's always conditions.
Always conditions. We have the goodness of God, and we have what?
The
severity of God if we don't obey. Well, while we're reading this, I went over to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go over there to chapter 30, and we'll see what we have going on, and we'll see what's happened to Israel through the years, and they're suffering because they disobeyed God right in the beginning. What I'm going to do in chapter 30, I'm going to start in verse 15, and the scripture says, God says, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil.
Mm-hmm.
In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. And if thine heart turn away, so thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth, listen to this, I call heaven and earth to record this day, or to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, and that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. What a promise they had, huh? And then he goes down to verse 31, verse 6. He says, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that amazing when I think about what he promised And all with that. Verse 9 says, "And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them again, thus saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of the release in the Feast of Tabernacles." What is this? This is the Shemitah he's talking about. "When all Israel has come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law or Torah before all Israel in their hearing." Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
I want to read what it says over here in 1 John.
Ahead,
it says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone that loveth him that beget loveth him, and also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God."
Yes.
"When we love God and keep his commandments."
Commandments. That's right.
"For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments."
That's right.
"And his commandments are not grievous."
That's right.
Right there.
Mm-hmm.
"For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." The world, that would be the world of sin,
mm-hmm,
to me. "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith."
That's right.
"Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?"
That's right.
Thank you, Father.
And while you're over here in the New Testament, you know, we're thinking about all the commandments that God put in place. And Paul talked about these. Jesus talked about these. And they're just carried forth from the first covenant for us today to obey the same things. And they lived a lot of these things that we're going to read here in that day. And look what's happened to them. I'm going to go to chapter 5 of the book of Galatians and just read a little bit with you. In verse 5, verse 17, it says this. I'm going to read 16 first. "This I say then," Paul says, "walk in the Spirit." That means to order your life in the Spirit. "And ye shall not fulfill" what? "The lust of the flesh." This physical body, what it wants, but it's also a picture of the old man, what you used to do.
Mm-hmm.
"For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit." And it doesn't say anything about the soul here. He's talking about the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. "And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. If you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law." It means you're not under a system of legalism in the law in any way, shape, or form. But there's things that we learn from the Torah that we need to put in our life, as I mentioned in Romans chapter 7 with the Apostle Paul. Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Now, we got all these things we're going to talk about. Much of this is even going on in the church today. It's been going on all down through history. "Now, the works of the flesh are manifest." Which are these? What? Adultery? You know, having sex with somebody else besides a spouse, a wife or a husband. Fornication. Having sex with someone and you're not married. You're committing fornication. Uncleanness, you know. It doesn't mean you're having a dirty body. It means you've got an unclean mind. That's what you have. You're thinking on the wrong things. Lasciviousness. This means lewdness. Okay? Idolatry. We know that. We idol worship. Witchcraft. Well, we have a lot of that. We're praying prayers. I get it right in a minute. We pray prayers sometimes over people. We need to be careful how we pray. It can be witchcraft. We don't want to do that. Then we have hatred. We have variance. You know, they can't get along. Emulations. Wrath. See, we can be angry, have righteous indignation, but the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews not to let that anger turn into wrath. And then strife, seditions, and heresies. We have all this going on in the church today. We have division, strife, the Absalom spirit trying to take over churches. They split and have started another church. This is what we have. And then verse 21, we have envying people and what they have, murders, drunkenness, revelings, means we have the party spirit, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. Now remember, he's talking to the church here, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But, I like the but, the fruit of the Spirit, you know it's singular, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now these other translations beside the King James have some things they mess up in this verse. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. This word faith means the faith in Jesus Christ. Most Bibles have the word faithful in there. No, it says faith. The faith in Jesus Christ that we will remain with his doctrine and stay with him. And then verse 23, meekness and temperance. The other Bibles have a word, two words, self-control. We can't control ourselves without the Holy Ghost. So what is temperance? That means our walk with the Lord is being tempered all the time by the Holy Ghost that will walk and say and do the things he wants us to do. Against such, he says what? There is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh, the old man, with what? The affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, it means if we order our life in the Spirit, let us what? Also what? Walk in that continually in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, and all. And so we have to understand these are all patterns that came out of the first covenant. And so we have to think about things that God has never changed. He hasn't changed his thought on that. These aren't suggestions that he put in here. He's telling us that we must do these things if we want to remain in the kingdom of God. And that's the answer to what we're trying
to
share.
And Paul talks about all the things that are this, all the sins. And then he talks about, everybody wants to talk about the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
They want to go to Galatians and they want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. But they don't read what comes before that part. That part is, there's conditions. There's always conditions.
That's right. Now I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 with you thinking about this, okay? Mm-hmm. All right? I'm going to start in verse 9 here. Now pastors need to preach on this, and they don't do it very much. Paul says, know ye means to all of you. You're know welcome. You not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't tell me you can live unrighteous and you're going to inherit it, because it's not going to happen. Be not deceived, he says, neither fornicators. What are those people having sex outside of marriage? Okay.
And there's a lot of that going on in the church today.
Nor idolaters. We worship everything in America, you know. Politicians, movie stars, singers. We worship football players, baseball players. That's idolatry, okay. Nor adulterers. What we just talked about. People that commit adultery. Nor the effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. This is an interesting word that the King James uses here for people in homosexual lifestyle. They call them abusers of themselves with mankind. They're hurting themselves is what they're abusing their own body contrary to the word of God. And even the effeminate, you know, the group that look like men and they dress up like women. This is what he's talking about. Then he says, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, you know, the party people, nor extortioners shall inherit, what? The kingdom of God. And he says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God, of our God. All these things are lawful unto me, but all things, he says, are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
Hallelujah. And people who go back to that kind of a lifestyle after giving their life to the Lord, what are they doing? They're trampling the blood of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because he poured out his blood for us once and for all. Not to be trampled on, or to say we can continue to live in a sinful way.
That's right.
Because our life should change. And it says over here in John, I'm just going to read this while you're going to the next one. Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father.
Hallelujah.
And
thank
whatsoever
you, Lord.
You shall ask in my name.
Mm-hmm.
Will ask those who are doing believing and following him,
right.
That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, he gives us the Holy Ghost so we can live this kind of a holy life.
That's right.
And he tells us here, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments.
Whoa.
And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Who is that?
The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
That he may abide with you forever. He's abiding with you. He's in you. Amen. Even the Spirit of Truth. What is the Spirit of Truth going to do? It's going to lead us into all truth, right?
That's right.
It won't lie to us. Who lies to us? The devil lies to us. We lie to ourselves. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Why? Because we've asked him into our heart, right? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Hallelujah. Yes,
this
Lord.
This is the Holy Ghost he's talking about.
That's right. We don't want to blaspheme him in any ways, do we?
No,
that's
the
right.
Holy Ghost is going to lead us into all truth.
That's right. And he'll show you how to walk a righteous life.
A holy life.
And he's going to lead you to the Torah.
The Torah.
That gives you the instructions on how to walk a holy life with God. Remember, the Torah was never put in place to bring salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It just showed people, once they came to God, how to walk with God.
The Torah is good. The law is good. Paul said the law is good and just.
And holy.
And right and holy.
That's right.
And so what is the law? The law is the Torah.
That's right.
The first five books of the Old Testament.
Then he goes down two verses and says that what? The Torah is what? Spiritual.
Spiritual.
Today we take spiritual things off of it. We don't do all the ceremonial things. Thank God we don't have to sacrifice animals and all that. But there's spiritual truths that come off of the Torah. And that's what we got to look
because
at.
Because we have the Holy Ghost,
that's
we
right.
are we have the revelation of what the Torah really is saying. Those hidden mysteries I shared about that last week, about the mem, the
that's
open
right.
mem and the closed mem.
That's right.
Well, there's mysteries. There's two mems in the Hebrew language, their alphabet, and one is called an open mem, and the other one is called a closed mem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Yeshua is both of those, and the revelation of God, you know, he said the mysteries. So once we have Jesus into our heart, he opens those mysteries to us that are closed, that
Hallelujah.
Are closed to the world.
That's right.
They're closed to the world, but when we ask Jesus into our heart, then he opens up the revelation that we can read in the Torah and we can see. All the things in the Torah, they were all, it was an open, because it was all written down, and they could learn, they could understand it. But when Jesus spoke in parables, those were closed, and not everyone could understand those unless they had the Spirit of God dwelling within them. You know, the disciples didn't understand it until Jesus explained it.
That's right.
But he said, once you receive the Holy Ghost, that's why he had to go back to his Father. Once we will receive the Holy Ghost, then the mysteries are open up to
That's
us.
That's right.
It's awesome.
And he told the disciples they had what? They've been given the privilege to know the mysteries of God. Well, we can do that as well. Now,
and you know, that
mem
represents water too,
That's right.
Pastor Gene.
Mm-hmm.
The Hebrew letters, the Hebrew alphabet, they have like three dimensions. And some people say four. But they have, it's a number, a numerical number. It's a picture. And the picture for the mem is water. What is this word? This is living water.
That's right.
But if the living water needs to be moving in us.
Amen.
And it moves in us through holiness because it's his word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's stagnant, then what happens? It becomes dirty and flies get in it. And it's like having flies in the anointing, right?
That's
Jesus
right.
is the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ. That means anointing. So, and what's we're called Christians, that means we should be Christ-like.
Amen.
We have his anointing so we can walk and do what he's called us to do and be who he's called us to be.
That's right. Now, I just thought of this while Pastor Donna was talking here. I'm going to go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and show you what Paul wrote over here. I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but I just want to show you what Paul's relating to here is the things that are in the Torah, and he's bringing it into the new to make sure it's valid, has not changed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 6:26 says this, "For if we sin willfully," that means deliberately, "after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins."
That's right.
Now we find out over in Numbers, we talked about this on our Friday nights before, that God only covered sins that were not high-handed, the ones that were done in ignorance and omission. If it was high-handed or presumptuous, he took them out of the camp. He killed them.
Yes.
Thank God we're not under that today.
Like Korah and the group.
That's
so,
right.
So willfully we'd be high-handed.
That's right.
We know it's wrong,
and we
but
do it.
We're going to do it anyway.
"But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, if we do this,
mm-hmm.
which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law," or Torah, "died without mercy under two or three witnesses." So he's taking you back to the first covenant. What happened, okay?
Right.
Now, verse 29. "Of how much sore punishment," I said, it's in our day in the New Testament, "how much more punishment, mm-hmm. suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, Yeshua, and hath counted the blood of the
blood.
Covenant, wherewith he was sanctified." That's a past tense. It was sanctified.
It was.
"An unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." This word despite means they've insulted. They've insulted the Spirit of grace.
And that's a capital S.
That's right. They're insulted.
The Holy Spirit.
And despised that. And then it says, "For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord again. The Lord shall judge the people." And look at this. "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Hallelujah.
Now, this when Paul was speaking to believers here.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't speaking to unbelievers.
No. Nope.
He was speaking to the church.
He was talking to,
this is a warning.
Yeah.
Speaking to the Jewish people.
That's right.
So there were many Jewish people that believed in Yeshua. There were more Jewish people in the first 100 years or so that believed in Yeshua than the Gentiles.
That's right. Later on, yeah.
From what I understand.
So remember, this book was written about 3 years before the temple was torn down. A lot of the Jews came to the Messiah,
and they got confused, and they're thinking about going back to the old economy, you know, sacrificing animals and all that. Mm-hmm. If you read Hebrews chapter 6, Paul says, no, don't go back there. Stay with the new covenant. And it says they partook of the Holy Spirit and all that in the Bible. It's what it says over in Hebrews chapter 6. And so Paul was warning them, don't you go back and do those things, because if you think that you can do things high-handed and presumptuous, you're foolish, because judgment will come. And so that's upon a believer or unbeliever. And so God expects us to walk a holy life. And there's no exception for that. This is not a suggestion in the Bible. It's a warning to us to walk with God, or we will not be in the kingdom of God. And I see a lot of lazy, half, I don't know what I would call them, half in and half out in the body of Christ, that they're not living the way God wants. They're not doing that. They're, whatever their flesh tells them to do, whatever feels good, they'll do that. And we see so much, especially with this thing about living together without being married and all the things that we see. We see all kinds of fornication in the church today. It's a sin, and we pastors need to address this.
And they think they're going to heaven.
They think they're going to go to heaven, right. And so we have to understand the Word of God. It's not, I'll say it again, this is not a suggestion. The Ten Commandments are not multiple choice. We have to, God wants us to do them all. Now, we may not be perfect in all of them, but we can be approaching that, asking God, help us to fulfill those Ten Commandments that we have.
We're talking about willful, high-handed sin.
That's right. Doing things deliberately, knowing that it's wrong, and you still go ahead and do it, and you think you're going to be okay. God's just going to forgive you and sweep it under the carpet. That's not going to happen unless you ask God to forgive you. Turn from that. Teshuva, turn around and come back to Him and be sold out to Him. Aren't you glad He's a God of? He can be a God of 10 beginnings.
That's right.
If we fail, His arm is never too short. If we're sincere, we can ask to be forgiven for what we've done. Go back, and God will, His arm's never too short. He'll bring you right back to that place that you were before.
Thank you, Lord.
If you're sincere about it, He's looking for sincerity of heart. He wants to see a pliable and a humble heart before Him. That's what it's all about.
So we each must search our hearts.
That's
right. Each search our own heart. And the Holy Ghost, if we're born again, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost will bring us to all truth and show us
That's
those
right.
things. Maybe it's somebody we need to forgive in our family. Maybe
That's
it's
right.
a friend. Well, you know, ask the Lord. The Lord has to speak to each one of us individually. The Lord knows our heart.
That's right.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. This hour has gone by so quickly,
Fast,
honey.
Yeah.
And we just want to bless you guys and pray, you know, number six over you guys, that you would just be blessed. You're going in and you're coming out. You're rising up and you're lying down. Well, we have services here in Stuart, Florida. If you'd like to come and visit us, our name of the ministry is Spirit of Prophecy Church and a Church Family. And we're right here on Canner Highway in Stuart, Florida. We have services on Friday night, Saturday afternoon, this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And again tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So come and visit us. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. And I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
Thank you, Lord. So we'll close with this. Don't get upset with Pastor Donna and I. We're just telling you what God said.
We just read the Bible.
He wrote this. I didn't write this. He did. So, you know, even when we take communion, we should search our hearts before we even touch
it. Or don't take it.
Don't take it if you're not right with God. Or you can ask for forgiveness in a moment of time, and He'll forgive you, and then you can do it. So this is a serious thing that we're talking about. This is not something we're playing around with. He's expecting us to walk a holy life.
Holy
so
life.
We're on this program every week because we love you. We want to see you raised to a new place in the body of Christ. That's what we call it, raising the standard. So as we close every week, we tell you, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.